Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Podcast-Folge. Heute mal was ganz Besonderes. Ich habe mein erstes Interview auf Englisch geführt. Das möchte ich euch heute zeigen. Und dafür habe ich mir natürlich einen ganz besonderen Gast ausgesucht. Ist ja klar. Ich spreche heute mit Dr. Corinne Devin. Corinne ist Ärztin. Sie ist bei der US Navy in einem ganz hohen Rang, nämlich als Commander. Und nebenbei hat sie mal so den ein oder anderen Schönheitswettbewerb gewonnen, unter anderem Miss International, Miss World und Miss Earth, glaube ich. Also sie ist eine wunderschöne, erfolgreiche, ganz besondere Frau. Und ich glaube, wir können ganz viel von ihr lernen, vor allem wenn es darum geht, wie kann ich meine Ziele erreichen, wie kann ich mir Gewohnheiten dafür aufbauen und was brauche ich ganz grundsätzlich für ein Mindset, um eben dann auch dorthin zu kommen. Ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude beim Zuhören und möchte dich auch ermutigen, dieses englischsprachige Interview wirklich bis zum Schluss anzuhören. Und es kann sein, dass du das ein oder andere Wort nicht verstehen wirst. Ich zumindest für die Vorbereitung des Interviews musste das ein oder andere Wort nachschlagen. Ich ermutige dich, dass du das auch tust, dass du es für dich als Wachstums-, als Entwicklungschance siehst. Und genau, dann wünsche ich dir ganz viel Freude beim Anhören. Welcome to another very special episode of our podcast. I'm here today with Dr. Corinne Devin. Thank you so much for being here with me, Corinne.
It is truly an honor, and I am humbled to be part of your podcast and what you are creating in Germany.
Thank you so much, Corinne. Corinne, you are a board-certified orthodontist, a United States Navy commander who's currently located in Japan, and you are an international keynote speaker. And if this wasn't enough, in 2018, you won Miss Earth and were able to organize cleanups in Italy with the UNESCO. That's great. And besides that, you are the reigning international Miss of 2020. Corinne, first of all, congratulations on this huge, massive success that you have achieved in your life. Honestly, that's so damn inspiring.
Well, thank you. I am so humbled to have had so much success, but I would tell you it didn't come without a lot of hard work, a lot of wonderful friends, mentor, coaches, people who truly pushed me along the way and reminded me not to always hit that snooze button at 5 o'clock in the morning to get up and make the most of every day.
Corinne, when I was researching about you and your profession at the US Navy, I found that only 0.29% of women make the rank of commander. It takes them 20 years, and you did it in 11 years. I'm so curious, what mindset, what way of thinking and maybe behaving in terms of habits, waking up early in the morning, does a person need to accomplish this?
That is a beautiful question and definitely one that is very intricate. One thing that I would tell anyone who wants to go after a goal that may seem in some ways unachievable is to look at people who've already achieved it and ask them what they did to get there. Not so much to imitate them, but to also see the skills that they had to acquire to get where they were at. Perhaps it's going to a location or doing a job that no one wants to do and doing it really well. Another is really tapping into your talents and then raising your hand in areas where you can truly shine. And for me, one of the areas that I love to do is to inspire and to communicate with different groups of people. Very often, I am in charge of people who are 20 years younger than me to 20 years older than me. And as we know, when you talk to people from different backgrounds or different generations, you sometimes have to change the way you communicate with them differently. If you think about it in your circle, how you talk to your mom versus how you talk to your spouse versus how you talk to your children is very different. But at the end of the day, there might be something you want them to do or accomplish or finish. And so learning how to change the way you communicate, not expecting people to change for you, but you change for them, is a leadership trait that I'm constantly working on. Another is always putting people first. It's making people feel acknowledged, heard, and appreciated. And when you do that, people will look out for you, they will care for you, and they will have your back for you. Because to rise and to get to the rank I'm at today took a lot of people to support me, to believe in me, to push me, and to challenge me. And if you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. So it's really important to surround your people who, it's like running a race, someone who just runs maybe a minute mile faster than you, and you're just trying to catch to them. So those were some of the things I did.
It's great that you're talking about leadership, because that's one of the topics I like to read about, I like to learn about in my life. And I hear you talk about leadership a lot, which is fantastic. Also, and that's interesting to me, in the context of pageantry. What you say is that pageantry is all about leadership. Can you explain why, and yeah, maybe in what way you were able to develop leadership skills in this particular environment?
Well, let's be honest, pageantry and the military could not be more different. However, there are certain qualities that they both share. They both share service, whether it's service in your community, service to other people. They both believe in tradition in the sense of things that you do, depending in pageants, it's always bringing a gift from your country or from where you are from, to helping someone who maybe had a zipper that broke backstage, or an earring that fell out, or a hair clip that's not fitting right. And in the military, very often we have uniform inspections where we're taking lint off each other's shoulders, we're squaring each other's hats, we're making sure that we looked polished, pristine, and presentable. And lastly, camaraderie. Camaraderie is really doing something for someone else without any expectation in return. So for example, as you know, I'm here in Japan, and I will tell you that if you saw me about 30 minutes earlier cooking in my Japanese kitchen, which is entirely in kanji and katakana, it wasn't without relying on my neighbor Junko, who came over and truly helped me understand how to cook without setting off the fire alarm that I was doing very much last week. And her husband is American. And so some of the things that she's getting to do as she's transitioning back to the States, I was helping her and her daughters. And so before I moved to Japan, I didn't know her. I only met her in this past month. And so where does leadership fall under all of this umbrella? Well, you don't have to have a title to be a leader. You can be a leader in small ways or big ways. You can lead one person, 10 people, 1,000 people. But being a leader is being of service to others. And very often it means caring for other people even more than they may care for you. But knowing in your heart and in your mindset and who you represent, you're doing something for the good, whether it's the good of the building you live in, whether it's the good of your home, or the good of the organization that you work for.
That's beautiful. Serving people without expecting anything in return. This truly giving unconditionally. That's so beautiful. Has it always been this way, Corinne? Have you always been serving?
It's been an evolution. I would have to say that to serve others is something I learned from my parents. At a very young age, my father would have my brother and I volunteer at different events. So I remembered as a little girl going to health fairs. I would say probably one of the funniest stories I can share of how I served was when my dad was stationed in Hawaii with the Marines. My brother and I just got out of the pool. We were in our clothes and I was driving around the pool in my little yellow car tyke. And the car tyke flipped over in the pool. I get trapped underneath the little car in the pool. And the next thing I know, I wake up to my dad giving me CPR. Now, at the time, I was 8 years old, but my dad's like, wait, you're in your clothes. This looks perfect. Don't move. And he comes back and takes photos and then tells me to jump back into the pool and have my head face down like a dead man's float. because he wanted to take pictures of real life examples to show his CPR class that he was teaching the following week. So even things that some people might feel as traumatic as a child, my dad would turn it around and say, how could I take this as being a teaching example or something I could serve others and showing them of what to do or not to do, or now how not to panic in situations. On that same base, the following year, my father deployed to Operation Desert Storm. And with that on the base, there was many people that were away, many spouses that were had gone. And so I learned to be of service to others was to bond with other military kids who also had their moms or dads away and learn how we could help each other and lift each other's spirits when maybe we're just having a bad day or we're just missing our mom or our dad, not knowing when they return. And so that just carried on the older I got. And I realized, you know, when you do something for someone else and you see how good they feel and just how happy they are, that makes you feel good. Like very often when you know you gave something or you did something for someone else, it's not the actual, you know, how much you gave, whether it was your time or your money or your service per se, but it's how you walk away just feeling just elated because you know how happy or how grateful that person is. And so for me, I always find that in some ways addicting, but then everywhere I go, I try to find new ways or maybe underserved ways to give. For example, like doing cleanups in Italy. I couldn't believe in an area that was so beautiful, there was areas that really needed some extra TLC, and just cleaning a side of the highway or a beach, people just, they were just so grateful. They were taking constant photos because they couldn't believe what I didn't think was that big was their home. And they never saw it the way that I got to see it after I cleaned it. So.
Wow. I have one quote. It's called "The Secret to Living is Giving." It's from Tony Robbins, one of my mentors. And it's exactly what you described, that giving and serving makes you happy and the other person too. Corinne, your father seems to be a big role model for you. You're talking about him a lot. How important is it in life to have role models?
It's priceless. I feel that in our life, we constantly need role models. We constantly need mentors, and we need to have people in different areas of our life. You know, I often tell people you can't look at one person to be fill every single role of being your soulmate, your best friend, your philosopher, your poet, your scholar. I mean, let's be honest, it takes a village to raise a child, and how being a mentor, you know, you need so many people who fill that facet. So, you know, look at the areas of your life, whether it's your business, personal, or if it's professional, if it's a hobby, if it's something that you hope to turn into a side hustle, if it's even raising children, being even something how to better your relationship, having a mentor in each of those areas can really help you out as far as improving your skills. And one of the most common examples I always give people is, you know, professional athletes, you know, Olympic athletes, people who are training for the Olympics, hopefully this year in Tokyo, or who are getting ready for a race, they all have personal trainers. And it's not because they're not in good physical shape. I mean, they're Olympians, they're in fantastic shape, but they want to have that coach who's going to push them that extra length or train them that extra distance. And that what I feel is a great mentor to do is they get you outside of your comfort zone. They challenge you. And they also will reel you back in when maybe you went outside of, you know, your boundaries of what you should or shouldn't do. And it's so important to have that introspective so you can really take it to the next level. And you will outgrow your mentors over time. Just, you know, that's just the nature of life. But it's definitely important to be a mentor as well as have those mentors in return.
So you are a mentor as well for other people in different areas of life?
Yes. So right now at where I work, I am a mentor to all of the female enlisted sailors. So I work for the Department of Defense. You know, these are my views, not the views of the Navy, but they asked me when I first came aboard because of my friendly nature and always having food in my office and always having the door open if I would be a mentor. And in that capacity, it's a place, it's a safe place for another female enlisted sailor to come if she just needs someone to talk to, or it's a place where if she wants career advice. I also have been a mentor for other sailors who want to become officers or perhaps want to leave the military and go into dentistry. And I also have several mentors that are several people who are orthodontists in my community who I mentored that as general dentists became orthodontists, as well as some girls and women in the pageant world. And it's definitely a give and take relationship. I love what some of them bring to me, thinking like, oh my gosh, you learned about this. I need to learn about this. Or also for them just to make me think about things in a different perspective. And I really am grateful because when people take the time to let you know, either when you're wrong or when you misalign, they're taking that time to tell you in order to be better. And to me, that's one of the best part about the mentorship and mentee roles I find.
So good that you're talking about this because oftentimes we think we are weak when we take support or take advice or take a coach that helps us with something. But in reality, it's a strength.
Oh, 100%. You know, when you can let people know that you're vulnerable and that you're not perfect, it makes you more human. And as someone who is definitely a perfectionist by nature, very often when the people I lead get to see me kind of let my hair down or kind of see me just get like frustrated, they're like, thank goodness. They just sometimes laugh because they don't always see that side of me. But it's important because it shows you that you're real, you're authentic, and that you have good days and bad days just like they do. And, you know, sometimes it's nice to know that if, you know, sometimes things just get under your skin just like anyone else, but also to, you know, channel that in a positive, productive way is important too.
Wow. Corinne, you seem to be someone who is constantly bringing value to others and someone who's very grateful. Do you see yourself as, how can I say this, as a privileged person?
I would definitely.
So serving. So I think you must see yourself as someone who is really privileged, right?
I see myself as privileged in the sense of I was very lucky that I had parents who really instilled the value of education and service at a young age. But I also feel privileged that I get to wear the uniform and I get to serve a lot of people who can't afford orthodontics. And I get to do it for them for free because they serve our country or their parents do. And so very often, I want people to know if they ever want to pursue that path that I'm here for them, because I was told by a lot of people that I wouldn't become an orthodontist or I would never make it to the Navy. But then I also was told by several people that, hey, whenever you fall down, learning how to pick yourself up is success. Even if it means you have to fail 9,000 times, that one time that you make it, that's success. And so I feel very privileged that I've had failures that have led into success, but also that I've had wonderful people who have pushed me to have the success I've had today. And I simply want to share it and pass that forward because of what others have done for me. So yes, I do feel privileged in the sense that I get to do that for other people that I meet in my life.
And now, and that's the beautiful thing about it, you're helping other, maybe sometimes underprivileged people to become their best self.
Absolutely. Whether it's becoming an officer in the military, becoming an orthodontist, a dentist, or that beautiful smile they've always wanted, finding a way to get to yes. And even with my fellow officers, you know, there's always problems or hiccups that come up. And I always take a step back and say, you know, everything is figure outable. And I can't take credit for that. That phrase is from Maria Folio, who's amazing. But I love that because I always tell them, it's so easy to say no, but let's figure out how we can get to yes. Let's figure out how we can work a way around it. There's nothing that we can't do. We just might have to be very creative and innovative on how we get there.
Corinne, you were talking about failures. That's very interesting to me. Is this something, dealing with failures, is this something that makes us successful in a way? Or what is it about the failures that we all need to learn?
Well, let's be honest. If anything in life comes to us easy, we just take it for granted. We don't think about it. But when we don't do well at something, just like if someone says something negative to us, we remember it. It doesn't matter if 10 people said we looked amazing or they admire how we take care of our children or how well we're at our job. If that one person said negative, we remember that. We almost hold on to it like it's for dear life for some unknown reason, like we failed. But the reason why it's important to at least recognize areas where we struggle is that the fact that we can set goals for ourselves to improve, that we can look at that failure as not as a failure that we can't do it, but more of as an obstacle of opportunity that we can maybe overcome. And a lot of research that I've read out there, and this is also true when it comes to goal setting or areas that we know we're afraid to fail, is that when we take steps in a positive direction or in a direction, even if we fail, like let's say it's doing a pull up and we can't bring ourselves up, but the fact maybe if we get on a step and we can get halfway up, that momentum of getting closer and closer to our goal will actually send dopamine hits to your brain that will lead you to success. And so that's something I really want to stress to people, is that even, you know, in the military where I work with special forces, I'm not in the special forces, but I have many colleagues who do. It's not the strongest person or the fastest person that always, you know, completes the course, but it's the person who's determined that no matter how many times they fall down, they continually get back up. Because they don't look at it as a failure, but as like, I'm just one more step closer to success.
That's a beautiful mindset, but I can guess that this doesn't come overnight, right? This is something
you can learn. No way.
What are some of the, let's say, habits that you're doing in your life that took you there, that brought you to this, that gave you this mindset, this learning experiences? What are some of the habits you're doing in your life?
So I would say one of the habits that I do is I wake up really early in the morning. I wake up actually around 4 o'clock in the morning. That's when my day starts, which I know even in the land of the rising sun, the sun is actually not up that time yet. But what I find is that when you wake up before the rest of the world wakes up, it's very quiet and it's a time where you can do something for yourself. And for me, it's actually, that's when I work out. I usually work out from about 4:15 to 5:30. That's kind of my workout time. And by doing that, it's doing something that's good for yourself. It wakes you up, but it also sets you on a path of endorphins for the rest of the day. So that helps you with stress. That helps you with knowing that whatever comes to you that day, you've done something that's good for you, both internally and externally. Another thing that I do is I actually make a list the night before of the things I need to do. And I prioritize the list of the top three. And I'm a type A person who loves to cross things off the list. I get like a physical jolt of like happiness, productivity, but having that keeps me organized throughout my day. So I manage my time. And the final thing I'll tell your audience that I do is I actually have a list of goals for the year. But what I do is I actually have a word for the year that I'll think of when I think of these goals. So for example, in 2020, my word was align, that I wanted to make sure, am I aligned with how, you know, I feel about fitness or finance or social media or pageants or my goals in the Navy. This year, my word for the year is to be present. And for me, I think that's so important in everything that I do, because very often when we think we have to multitask in so many directions and split our attention, we find that we're not fully present. And so we can't fully engage and absorb what's being told. So that may mean putting your cell phone away when you're at dinner with friends. That may be shutting off certain devices at a certain time, or really just looking someone in the face, you know, connecting with their eyes and just truly taking in what they have to say. So for me, those are just a few things that I've done. But one more thing I will add to, you know, what we're talking about with the leadership and the goals and the service is don't be afraid to ask for help. And keep asking for help until you get it, because eventually someone's going to say yes. Eventually someone's going to give you an idea that you haven't been told. And when they do, that might be the one thing that's going to help you get success or achieve that goal or break that mindset where you might just feel stuck. And trust me, I'm working on a couple of those myself right now.
So what you're saying basically is you have a morning routine. You have an evening routine and you are setting intentions for your day and for your year. So intentions is something that makes us achieve our goals. Is it something that we need in our lives?
100%. And even if the goal is a huge goal, like let's say your goal is to publish a book or get into dental school, then it's important to break that goal down into bite-sized pieces. You know, if it's getting into dental school, you have to take an entrance exam. You have to take certain courses. You have to get letters of recommendation. And if you're taking this all at once, it can feel so overwhelming. And so maybe it's breaking it down and being like, okay, this week or this month, all I'm focusing on is the letters of recommendation. That's all I'm focusing on. And then just breaking things down and putting dates and mini deadlines. It's no different than someone who wants to lose, let's say, 20 pounds. You're being very specific with your goal, but you would feel overwhelmed to lose, you know, 20 pounds, 10 kilos in 1 month. But if you're like, my goal is to lose 1 kilo or 2.5 pounds per week, then it's much more realistic. It seems much more easier to achieve. And then as you're achieving each one of those markers, it's giving you momentum and you're starting to see progress in that goal that you want to achieve. And I think when you start getting that momentum, it's like that snowball. You don't want to stop. You just want to keep going.
So it's setting a goal, setting an intention, and then following those mini steps that are achieved for you by having certain habits that bring you there, right?
Yes. Yep. You got it.
So what are some of your goals, Corinne? I'd like to know, what are your goals for the future for next year?
Well, one of my goals is to be on a TED Talk, which right now we have to wait until conferences are going to be live again. So in 2020, I actually worked with a coach and I have something that's prepared and I'm very excited to launch it once I know that conferences and travel has commenced when our world has healed. Another goal of mine is actually to publish a book. So I am working on a motivational nonfiction book. And I have to be honest, it is a little bit overwhelming because there's so many ways to publish books. There's no one wrong way or no one right way. But for me, what I've been doing is really reaching out to various people and recommendations to see who would be a good fit and have me set a plan that is something I know I can realistically encompass in my day-to-day schedule that will put me on a timeline to have that accomplished and ready to publish in 2022. So those are two. And then I'd love to compete in a pageant, but again, it just depends if I'll be allowed to travel. Right now, being in the military, they like to keep us put where we're stationed. So right now I'll be in Japan until further notice.
Wow, those plans make me goosebumps.
Thank you.
And books. What is your main message? What do you want to teach to the people?
For the book or the TED Talk,
your whole message. What is your message? What's the core of your message?
When you seek the unattainable, you can really change the game in life. And I want people to realize that, you know, nothing in life is just handed to you, that, you know, very often it's so easy in our world where in social media, in the news, you see one picture or a glance or story and you think that it was just something that snap of your fingers, it was right there. And not realizing the blood, the sweat, the tears, that really the grunt grit that went into that. And so for me, I want to show people some of my failures, but also some of the things I learned to say no in the face of adversity, and that I'm going to get back up and do it better. And learning to climb over those brick walls and understanding that, yes, in life, there might be a traditional road or route to get there. However, they can find ways to go around and create their own path, that they don't have to do what 95% people do to get to from point A to point B, that they can maybe circle around and squiggle through and get to that. And so for me, that's been some of my success. I'll give you a great example. So in college, I was a communications major and I just took the science prereqs. And that was biology, chemistry, physics, calculus, just to get into dental school. Well, once I got into dental school, they were going over courses that most of my colleagues in school had seen before, but they were brand new to me because I wasn't a science major. So yes, I had to work a little bit harder and, you know, put my nose to the grindstone. However, when I graduated, let's be honest, my patients don't ask me to recite the different muscles of mastication or the insertion points. They don't ask me to tell them what the trigeminal nerve, that's your nerve that goes to your face, and the parts of it and, you know, what it signals. They are more intrigued and they hear what my plan is and how am I going to make them feel and if they can understand what I'm saying. And even today I had a mom who was a little bit confused and wasn't quite sure if she fully understand. And so I brought her back to my office just to make sure that she had clarity, that she had confidence, and that she really, truly felt that what we were doing was the best for her daughter. And that's something you can learn in school. That just takes time and experience and really listening to people.
Wow. What I hear you say is that knowledge is not always power and is not always the thing that people need. It's more empathy. It's understanding what their needs are and that people feel seen and heard again. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. You have to be compassionate, engaging, thought-provoking, and you can learn so much in school. But again, that's where having great mentors to call you out, but also to remind you of those things. It's also reading great books. I mean, Tony Robbins is a great book. I just got done with Simon Sinek. And there's a few others that I love listening to. I do a lot of audiobooks when I travel and I'm on the road. But for me, you know, I would tell anyone in any profession, you know, reading books and finding things outside your profession will trickle into your personal and your professional life and make it far more richer and far more engaging for the people that you connect with.
Do you have a book recommendation for us? What's one book that has changed your life for the better?
Oh, gosh, changed my life. Whew. That is, there's so many books. I can give you one that I just got done reading. How about that? So Simon Sinek, Start With Why, was really interesting to me because he talks about different companies where people can thrive, but also the characteristics. And so for me, some of the lessons that I learned from it is that people either have an internal motivation or not, but if you put them in an environment where they feel they can succeed, that is where you really will bring out the best in people. And let's be honest, no matter where we work, we work with a team of people. And to basically give them that environment where they feel acknowledged, appreciated, and heard, they will do well. And that's very true in the military. Sometimes I don't always agree with the politics or the decisions that are made. However, if I understand where they're coming from, regardless of my personal opinion, I'm going to be much more understanding and also be on board. So that was a great book. Another one I also recommend was The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes. He gives several fantastic lessons in his book about ways to really better yourself and also leading people in your surroundings.
Beautiful. Thank you. Where does your drive come from? Is it your why? Is it this internal motivation that you have? Where does it come from?
My drive comes from people telling me that I can't do something, to be very honest. So when I was a little girl, I wore those thick bottle top glasses, like the ones that are on the bottle, like the bottom of a Coke bottle that are like super thick that make your eyes look like an owl. Yes, I wore something like that ever since I was 18 months old, all the way till I was in, gosh, middle school. And being very small and petite, I always would have other people tell me of what I was capable of doing, whether it was my peers or other kids I met at the school, and even as an adult. And I just never felt like I should let one person's opinion dictate what I was able to do in life. So whenever anyone told me no, I was like, okay, watch me. And that was true with my school. That was true in pageantry. That was true in the military. If you told my 8-year-old self that watched my father leave for the Middle East, that 20 years later, I would be doing the same thing and the same job, I would just be telling you there is no way. Well, never say never. And so I feel really best. I volunteered to go to the Middle East. I volunteered to join the military. I raised my hand to have a scholarship, have paid for dental school. So it's that for me has been my drive, is just pushing myself when others seem to want to put limits of what I can do. And I didn't want other people to determine what I could do with my life.
So you're very competitive by nature. Is that what you're like?
Yes, I am. But a friendly competitor, I would tell you, by no means, you know, I push against myself. I am probably, like most of us, we're each other's hardest critics. And I would definitely say being in the military, and obviously my hobbies definitely add to the competition, but a healthy competition, because by no means would I ever squash someone else's success to get ahead. It's more of like a race against the clock, or really being critical of what I've done and looking at areas of where I can improve, and also being, you know, open-minded to advice and criticism. And, you know, that's tough. Sometimes we all ask for advice and we don't always want to hear it, but it's learning to zip it and just sit back and listen and absorb it. Sometimes it's easier said than done, of course.
Actually, this is the way we're growing, right? By being able to hear the critics and to learn from them and being open to them and not taking them too personal, right?
Yes, definitely. Most definitely.
Corinne, one last question for you. You're talking a lot about empowerment, empowering women, empowering other people. What does empowerment mean to you? What is your definition? What is the core of empowerment for you?
For me, empowerment means that you radiate, you exude who you are with no apologies. And when you are in that positive area of where you know who you truly are, what you stand on, what you believe, with that confidence and with that clarity, to me, that communicates very well, whether it's in your body language, it's the way you make eye contact, the way you engage with others, and what you speak for others. Very often, to me, to be empowering is maybe having a voice for others who have no voice or feel that their voice is not as powerful. An example of what I do daily is I empower my dental assistants. Very often they have a tough job. They are constantly seen bringing in patients, getting things ready. And I always call them mini Dr. D's, mini Dr. Devins, because I train them to say exactly, say what you were saying to the parents or what you're saying to our patients is no different than what I say to them. And if you ever need me, just let me know, because my rank and my title is for two things: taking care of you and taking care of our patients. So for me, that is truly empowerment, is letting people know that you've got them, you've got their back. And no matter if they feel that they're going to fall or not be able to get themselves back up, you're going to be right there with a helping hand ready to go.
Wow, that's like a mic drop moment here. Probably the best way to finish this interview. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Corinne. And most of all, thank you for being such a great role model for women all over the world.
It's truly an honor, and I am grateful to be part of your podcast, especially from a part of Germany that is truly a piece of my heart that rests there.
Thank you so much, Corinne. Take care and bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.